couple weeks, remember, Jesus did many miracles. Remember that he healed the man with the skin disease, the Roman centurion's servant, Peter's mother-in-law, the men with two demons he cast out, paralyzed men he healed, the woman bleeding 12 years he healed, he raised a 12-year-old daughter or girl from the dead. He did miracles, and we're told numerous miracles, even beyond what's recorded for us in those chapters, but there was a mixed response. Some people were amazed. Some people glorified God and marveled. But there were others who accused Jesus of evil in it. Remember, the religious leaders of the day accused Jesus of being on the devil's side. And the scribes accused Jesus of blaspheming. And they just couldn't be pleased. And that's why what led Jesus to say in the verses right prior to this, you're like people who can't be pleased. You're like children in the marketplace. John the Baptist comes, he comes in with difficult words, in a difficult way, you're not happy with that. I come with the gospel and open wide the floodgates of heaven and the kingdom, and you're not happy with that. You call me a friend of sinners. You're not pleased with anything, even though you've seen all my mighty works. You've been given great opportunity, yet you're rejecting me. And then he says these words in verses 20 to 24. Listen to the word of God. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We ask you to use it in our hearts and shed light on this word. We pray for your glory and your name's sake. Amen. Please be seated. There's a question that often troubles people when they hear Christians speak about the gospel and the word of God. You may have heard it. I know I have. The question is this. What about those people who haven't heard of Jesus? What about this native in Africa or the person in some faraway land who's never heard of Jesus? Would God really send someone to hell who'd never heard of Jesus? And I've had a young man recently even say that to me and ask me that question and say it's the reason he doesn't believe in Christianity. He couldn't imagine that God would do that. So his question that kept him away was, what about that person? So let me ask you that. What would you say to that young man? Maybe you've had that question asked to you. How do you answer it? What would Jesus say? How would he answer it? Well, we get an idea how he'd answer it from our text this morning. Jesus tells us that some people do receive more revelation than others, and some do have a greater opportunity to hear of the gospel than others. So the important question is, what will you do since you've heard it? Don't worry about that person. God will take care of that. And notice Jesus tells us that some do receive greater revelation than others, doesn't he, in his text, verse 20? Notice what Jesus said. He began denouncing these certain cities. He began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works have been done because they did not repent. What does it mean to denounce a city or someone? Well, it means to declare that what they've done or are doing is wrong or evil, is to denounce it, to say, what you're doing is wrong. You shouldn't do that. And notice what cities Jesus denounced and why he denounced them. Listen closely to verse 20 again. He began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they didn't repent. What cities did he denounce? Those cities where most of his mighty works had been done. In other words, These are the places where he was most of the time in his Galilean ministry. You remember his ministry started in Galilee up in the north, and he spent his time there. His home base was Capernaum. He lived there and did miracles all around that area, and Chorazin was another town in Bethsaida around Capernaum. These are the cities in Galilee where there were basically his home base. And he did many works in these cities. As I mentioned earlier in the list of things in chapters 8 and 9, there are many miracles he did, and we get the impression that there are many more that Matthew didn't even record. Cast out many demons, saw many sick people, and healed them all. You would surely say the people in these cities saw a lot of miracles. And they saw Jesus a lot. He was around all the time. But now notice the comparison that Jesus made to these cities, to other cities in verses 20 and 21, or 21 and 22. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago with sackcloth and ashes. Notice what Jesus is saying. If these same works, all the things that I've been doing, have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. Now, the cities of Tyre and Sidon were those that were farther west of the cities of Galilee that he's talking about. They were on the coast of the Mediterranean. And they were known for being cities that were hostile to God's people of Israel. So consider that Jesus is telling them, these hometowns here, that even these people who are hostile to me and the people of Israel and the gospel, Tyre and Sidon, even if they heard and saw the things that you did, they would repent. Consider what Jesus is saying about the people of Tyre and Sidon. Think about that. He's saying these people had less opportunity to see me and hear these things than you did. They had less opportunity to see my mighty works. They didn't see my mighty works like you did. Another way to say it would be, Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, you have seen more than other people have seen. That's one thing Jesus is clearly telling us here in the text. Some people do have greater opportunity to hear and see God's word and the gospel in Jesus Christ than others. Jesus tells us that's a truth for the world. It's just going to happen that way. Why? Because there are people who live in time and space. All of us do, right? And God in his redemptive history has worked in time and space, and he works within the parameters of time and space to have specific people work at specific times and specific places. So depending on where and when you live in history, you will have, to a greater or lesser degree, more or less opportunities to hear of this great salvation and redemption God has done and is doing in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is telling us here that the people who lived in Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum had greater opportunity to see and hear God's revelation than the people of Tyre and Sidon. They'd seen his mighty works. They'd seen God's power. They heard of the kingdom. They saw all these things, and yet they didn't receive them. So the point for us today is this. Since God does give greater revelation of his saving work to some, we have to use the revelation he's given us. Let me say it again. So it's a fact. Jesus tells us here that some have greater opportunity. God gives greater revelation to some than others. And so we must use the revelation he's given us wherever we are and whoever you are. How can you use that revelation? Well, two ways we see here in our text. We can use it, this revelation of Jesus, for curse, or use this revelation of Jesus for blessing. Use this revelation of Jesus for a curse or use it for a blessing. First, notice that we can use this revelation we've been given for curse. In other words, It becomes a curse when we use it to refuse Jesus, refuse to follow him as he offers himself to us in the gospel. God sent his son Jesus Christ into the world to give good news to the world. God sent his son that we believe in him and have forgiveness of sins. And he sent his son to tell Capernaum, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and all the towns in that area the same thing. Repent and believe the good news and see the mighty works of the kingdom to prove that I am the one. God sent his son into the world and he gives great opportunity to them, but yet they didn't receive it. And so what happened? It became a curse. And we see that by the way Jesus states these things in verses 21 to 24. Listen again to what he says to these people. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Now, prophets of God in the Old Testament spoke blessings or curses on people from God at various times. And if they spoke blessings to people, they usually used the word blessed. Right? So the prophet Jeremiah said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. And Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. But when a prophet wants to speak for God's word in judgment or a curse, he uses the word woe. Prophet Amos says that. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion. Throughout the rest of the prophets, read Jeremiah, Ezekiel. The prophets say woe often. Jesus said woes. Chapter 23, a few chapters later, Jesus said, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. And that was a curse. He was pronouncing a curse on these people in these towns, which is a scary thing from Jesus, right? Why a curse? Because in verse 20, they did not repent. In other words, God held out good news to them, saying, come to me. I've sent you a Savior. The good news is here. The one you've been looking for, the Messiah who has to come, promised Son of David, he's here. Come to him. Come into the banquet. Receive his mercy and grace. But they refused. Not only that, but especially notice that Jesus says their curse on the day of judgment for refusing is actually going to be worse than some other cities that didn't have this opportunity. Did you catch that in verse 22? Listen again. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And notice what he says to Capernaum in verse 24. I tell you, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. Notice Jesus is telling us there are degrees of punishment. There really are degrees, as we said in our confession of sin earlier, right? Some sin is more heinous than others. Punishment will be more tolerable. It will be, both will be punished. There's going to be more tolerable punishment for Sodom than for you. Jesus is telling him some sins are worse than others, and it comes from this opportunity and knowing it, seeing it right in front of you and rejecting it. The person who knows and is seen is held to a higher responsibility. I remember that from our household growing up. I remember at our house, I'd sometimes have a friend of mine come over after school. Sometimes we have a snack after school. But if it gets close to too close to dinner at our house, it was like, stop eating, don't ruin your dinner. And I'd have a friend over, and he'd just keep eating. And my mom didn't say anything to him. And I remember thinking after, saying, Mom, he did it. Why do you do that? He's like, and her answer to me always was, you know better. Higher account, right? You know the house rules here. He doesn't. I'm not his mom. You do. That's the way we work with people, right? I mean, we work with people proportionately. Those who know are more responsible. Jesus told the people of Chorazin their sin is worse than Sodom. That's a shocking statement, isn't it? Let that sink in for a minute. The people of Sodom were known as terribly evil people. They're kind of held up in the Old Testament. It's like, and that's why Jesus uses them here. Let's take the worst example from the Old Testament of some people that were just heinous. And he says to these people, they're going to be better off than you on the day of judgment. That's a shocking statement. The people of Sodom better than us? Are you kidding? They're going to get less punishment than us? Can you imagine? The people are probably thinking, no way. But notice Jesus is also giving us an answer to that question I mentioned earlier. What about those who have never heard? Jesus tells us God's going to take care of that. You don't worry about it. He'll take care of people proportionally and understand what they had opportunity for and what they didn't. So you can just check that off your list right away. You're not God, so you don't have to deal with that. He will. And he will at judgment, right? There are greater degrees. So Jesus gives us that and says, he would say to the person asking that question, okay, that's not your job. Don't worry about that. God will take care of it. But the more important question for us in this room is, what about you who have heard? I think Jesus would turn it back that way and say, okay, forget about the name of Africa. What about you? You have now. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with me? Jesus is telling us something very important here, especially for all of us sitting here in this room. We've heard of this gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's warning us, don't reject it when you've had such a great opportunity. God's placed you in a great time in history, and he's placed you in a great place to hear of his gospel, hear of his kingdom. Jesus offers the kingdom to all who come to him. Come, feed on him, receive him. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Some of you have been brought here from around the world, maybe. Why? You've been given a great opportunity by God. He never does things by accident. He brings so you can hear. And he gives great benefits and blessings of hearing the gospel. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out, Jesus says, to you today. Come to him. Trust in him. He opened wide the kingdom. He's going to say, as we see in the verses next week, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest for your soul. I came to take away your sins, to set you free. Come in, eat, drink at no cost. We live in a time in history and a place when it's really clearer than ever. Think about it. Here in North Texas, my word. You know, statistically, the Pew Research did research in 2014, and in the DFW area, it's the largest percentage of professing Christians of any metropolitan area in the United States. 78% of the people in DFW claim to be Christian. 78%. That means you can't really throw a rock without hitting someone that at least professed to be a Christian that you're going to... And so somebody you work with, anybody in this area that works at any place, that goes to a store at any place, that has contact at a school or workplace, anywhere, you're going to run into a Christian. You're going to probably, if that Christian's a faithful, loving Jesus Christian, hear about Jesus. Hear about his saving work. We're saturated with it. We've got such great advantages, even the place we live in and the time we live in redemptive history. We've got incredible opportunity. I mean, think about it. With the stuff on the internet, with videos of the Bible, teaching the Bible, there's so much out there. It's amazing. Anyone who lives in DFW has a great opportunity to hear of Jesus Christ and the kingdom. It's just a fact. We have been put in a place where we hear a lot. But let me be a little more specific to you as covenant children here today. You who have been baptized, as we had the Hage family this morning. And think about what this means for you as a covenant child. You have been baptized into this church and body, and you have been placed by God into a family who loves Jesus Christ, is going to point you to him. and lead you to him. And the reason you're here sitting today in that chair is because your parents brought you here, because they want to bring you, to expose you to the good news of Jesus Christ at every opportunity. And that's why they bring you to Sunday school. And that is from God giving you blessing and benefit. But you know, when you're saturated in it, sometimes you grow up in a Christian family, you just get kind of used to it, like, oh, it's no big deal. And we don't see the blessings that this is from God. None of us choose where we're born. None of us choose our parents. God chooses. And he's given you, as a covenant child, family that loves Jesus and points you to him at every opportunity. So there's great responsibility in that. And Jesus is warning you here, you've got such great responsibility. Come to me. Trust me. Hold on to me, because it's a dangerous thing to reject such a great offering of the gospel and such grace and kindness from God. So the first thing we can use this revelation of Jesus for, a curse if we reject it. But notice we can also use God's revelation of Jesus for a blessing. In other words, if you do repent, do turn to Jesus Christ, you receive God's blessing. We see that in what Jesus said about the city of Sodom here. Interesting words about the city of Sodom, isn't it? Remember, the people of Sodom were notoriously wicked. You would say that they were a city that was kind of held up as a monument to sin and God's punishment. And notice what he says in verse 23. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Notice Jesus said, if the miracles done among you were done among the people of Sodom, as bad as these people were, they would have repented. And notice that Jesus says, that city would have remained until this day. Think about that for a minute. In other words, if Jesus would have visited that village long ago and done his mighty works and proclaimed the gospel, Sodom would have remained to this day. Jesus is saying Sodom would have repented and turned and received him and received what? Grace and mercy. They would have received it. Instead of being a monument to sin and destruction, they would have been a monument to forgiveness and grace. Jesus was reminding these people that turning to him can wipe out even the greatest sin you can be forgiven. Even the sin they were committing then, they could still turn from it. They hear this warning from him that day, and they can turn because he's telling them, I can remove any sin. It doesn't matter how bad it is. Sodom could have been saved. I can save anyone. Even the greatest ruin can be changed and prevented because of my work. Commentator Matthew Henry says it like this: angels were sent to Sodom, and yet it didn't remain. But if Christ had been sent, it would have remained. Angels were sent and it didn't remain, but Christ would have been sent, it would have been remaining today. Jesus is telling us, and these people of Chorazin, there is great blessing and advantage in me. Come to me. Even in this warning, it's, if you think about it, and this is with all of Jesus' warnings, even the woes in chapter 23, there's love behind them. He's telling them these things so that they will turn that day. So that there will be people in the crowd who will say, even Sodom could have been changed. Maybe there's hope for us because we've really blown it. He's telling us right now, we really did a bad thing. But if Sodom can be saved, there's hope for us. That's the way we all should come to the gospel, to say, no matter what I've done, no matter how bad I've blown it, I can come to him. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give rest to your soul. Let the little children come to me. Isaiah 55, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters and drink, and with no money, buy and eat. How do you buy and eat with no money, Jesus? I pay for your way, Jesus says. Come to me. It doesn't matter where you've been. You can be like Sodom. You could have been anywhere. You could have really blown it. Okay, Chorazin, Bethsaida, come to me today, and the woe is removed. Jesus said, come to him. And that's what we do today when we come to the Lord's table. God shows us his son Jesus again and again and holds him out to us as our hope and stay, and we cling to him. And this is a means of grace God has given us. An opportunity to embrace Christ again as he's freely offered in the gospel every time we come to it. And why do we have to keep doing it again and again? Well, I don't know about you, but I need it again and again because I continue to sin again and again. And I need to hear the grace of the gospel again and again. So it feels cyclical sometimes, doesn't it, in our lives? How can I forget? How can I go down that path again? I know better. Jesus, you are my hope. You're the righteous one. You're the one I need. I know many of you today are here with difficult trials in life and struggles. This is a place where you can come and cling to Jesus, and he'll give you all that you need. So how do we answer that question? What about the people in the world who have never heard about Jesus? Well, I think Jesus would tell us, God's going to take that into account at judgment. You don't worry about it. But have you embraced Jesus Christ offered in the gospel? What about you? Let God take care of them. You have heard today. Trust me, Jesus says. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your gospel of grace and your kindness to sinners. We're so glad you're a friend of sinners and that you always hold out hope in your gospel, even when we've really done badly as the people of Bethsaida and Chorazin and Capernaum. Oh, Jesus, feed us. Feed us today by your great finished work on the cross. We thank you in your name. Amen.